You are listening to Juno Afternoon. We want to thank every one of you for being here with us today. I'm Rhonda McBride. Although we've had pandemics and plagues throughout human history, this one has required us to constantly adapt and even innovate almost every step of the way. But with the vaccine, we've reached another turning point. Robert Barr, director of the City and Borough of Juneau's Emergency Operations Center, joins us today to help us mark yet another milestone. Now, I understand, Robert, that as of today, there is a new way to assess risk based on the vaccination rate. Could you explain that to us?
Yeah, that's right. Thanks, Rhonda. So we moved to a new level today in our community mitigation strategies. It's level 1B, and that level is reflective of the community achieving 50%, greater than 50% vaccination rate for our entire population. That includes all age groups. And we're really excited about that, right? Because we know that as our vaccination rate increases, our risk of outbreaks and our risk of COVID spread in the community decreases pretty sharply. We have really good data right now that demonstrates that the vaccines are very, very effective at preventing people from getting sick at COVID and at preventing the spread of COVID. So really happy about that. The community continues to do an excellent job of getting out there and getting vaccinated. And I'm looking forward to when we can move into our last risk level that we have defined right now, which is 1C, and we'll hit that once we get to 70% of our population.
So I understand that you have started or are making plans to vaccinate kids. So how does that affect the level? If you can get enough kids vaccinated, do you think you'll hit that 75%?
You know, it helps a lot. So, yeah, it's hard to get to 70% when you can't vaccinate kids. Kids under the age of 16 represent about 20% of our population. So to get above 70% without being able to vaccinate kids, we'd have to have almost every adult in town get vaccinated. And today, just breaking news, the CDC joined the FDA in approving the use of the Pfizer vaccine down to age 12. We have about 1,600 kids between the ages of 12 and 16 in Juneau, and we are planning vaccination clinics starting this Friday at the high schools and then next Monday at the middle schools to get them their first dose.
And this is important for a number of reasons, because kids are potentially real vectors of transmission, I imagine.
Yeah, you know, we all can be, but certainly parents out there will be able to empathize with that. When you have young kids at home, you get more illnesses, right? You have more common colds. It's just kind of a natural part of life. And, you know, I'm really excited that the vaccine is becoming available for kids now rather than later in the summer, because it's going to make our summer camps much safer. It's going to allow kids to socialize and get back into a more normal way of being for the summer, at least those that are in that age range that we can vaccinate. So it's really a positive thing, I think, for our kids.
I think, though, parents, if they weren't reluctant with themselves, they might be with their kids for various reasons. And how do you plan to get around that barrier?
Yeah, that's a real concern. And I think a very natural thing for parents to think about, right? Like, I have kids in that age range, and it is very normal and natural for parents to be protective of their children. Absolutely. And I think it's mainly a communication thing, and it's mainly kind of getting up to speed on what the vaccine does and what the risks are and what the side effects are, and comparing those risks to the risks of getting COVID and you know, the potential harm that causes. And then, of course, the benefit of a vaccinated population in preventing the spread of COVID and kind of helping us get back to normal from an economic and social perspective. So, you know, there's lots of different ways that I think that people can get up to speed. And a good one is coming up tomorrow. So tomorrow evening, the Health and Social Services Department and Dr. Zink and the public health leadership team is partnering with the Alaska Teen Media Institute to do a panel that'll be composed of those public health leaders. I'm pretty sure Dr. Zink herself will be there, as well as a bunch of Alaska teens. And Rhonda, I just emailed you a link to that, so I'm sure we can share that around, and we'll have those links shared on our Facebook page too.
I will make sure I put them up on KTOO's website when we post a copy of our interview on Juno Afternoon's webpage. So people should look for that link. That sounds like a good way to start with the teens themselves.
I think so. I think so. And, you know, if there are parents out there listening that you know, want to get your teens registered, or your 12-year-olds too, it's down to 12 now, you can find those links on the school district's webpage to sign up for those clinics, or on juno.org/vaccine. And also it should be in your email too. If you're a Juno school district parent, emails went out to all parents of kids in that age range. But I think it's also important to note that these clinics, even though they're happening in the schools, they are open to all youth ages 12 to 18. So you don't necessarily have to be a Juno school district student.
So with the adults, there were a mix of side effects from this. Some people felt tired. Some people felt achy, especially after the second dose, if they were on a two-dose regime. Kids younger, maybe in some ways more vulnerable. What have the studies showed about side effects for kids?
So they've been largely the same. Side effect profile for the Pfizer vaccine has been largely the same compared to kids, comparing kids versus adults. So that's good. The side effects are very insignificant compared to actually getting COVID itself. And they fade in the vast majority of people within a day or two. And for most people who get a side effect, it's something like pain in the injection site. That's a common one, a sore arm. Another common one is feeling some malaise, fatigue, maybe a low-grade fever for a day or two. That's fairly common too. But those are good things. They're signs that your immune system is recognizing the vaccine, learning about the virus, so that if you get exposed to the real thing, your immune system is primed to fight it off. So those side effects are a good sign. Another thing that I'll note there, Rhonda, is that the studies have really demonstrated that teens actually have a better immune response, or what appears to be a better immune response than adults. So you'll remember that Pfizer was cited as having a 95% efficacy rate when looking at the adult population. And that basically compares the people that got the vaccine versus the people in the control group, and how many of them didn't get COVID, right, compared to the control. In the teen group, it was 100%. So none of the teens in the vaccine group got COVID compared to those that did get COVID in the control group.
I understand, though, that there is some concern about teens and COVID, because it seems that as more and more people get vaccinated, the age group gets lower and lower in age. So it's younger people now that are getting infected.
That is the case in Juneau. We, in our case activity over the past 2, 3, 4 weeks, we have been seeing a sharp rise in the percentage of people on the younger end of the age spectrum. We have had very few cases in elders and in even people over the age of 50, very few cases, because those populations are largely vaccinated. And our case activity lately is all in people in their 20s and younger. Not all, but it's leaning that way.
And how sick are they getting?
Well, you know, thankfully, most people, most young people that get COVID don't have significant severe outcomes, but some do. You know, I know of a couple of people in particular, including a teen, who didn't have a severe case of COVID itself, but does have a pretty severe case of long COVID and is having a really hard time regaining, you know, the lung function that they used to have. So that's the one of the major concerns that we have with kids and teens, is that we just don't have a great understanding of what the long-term health implications you can have from having COVID. And even if you have a mild case to begin with, that unfortunately, that doesn't mean that you won't have longer-term consequences.
So when we get up to that 70-plus rate, I think we will all feel better. I mean, what do you envision happening when we get to that point as far as COVID restrictions being lifted?
Yeah. So when we get to that point of 70% of our population, I think, you know, based on what we're seeing right now, we'll see masks and face coverings start to back off a little bit. So our requirements, our mitigation strategies for masks and face coverings will decrease. And we will say something along the lines of how we still have to wear them indoors, but only when we're in public areas where children not yet eligible for vaccine are present. So if you're in a, you know, and it'll depend what the age range is like when we get there as to what that looks like in different establishments. I think though, even though the masking piece will become a little bit more optional when we get above 70%, I think we as a community, it'll still be really important for us to really put on our empathy and respect and really sort of notch that up, because I think it's going to be a while before many people are comfortable taking their masks off, even when it's safe to do so. And I think we're going to definitely have to practice kindness.
And that seems to have been the case through this whole pandemic. So hopefully it's become a habit. Let's hope that that's what happens. I do have to kind of be a skeptic. I wonder if with the tourism season coming on full bore by May, and I know when I say full bore, it's not going to be like what it was in past years, but we'll have quite a few visitors with the small cruise ships bringing tourists in for those cruises. Do you think that we could have another sort of breakout mode coming on here?
You know, that's an interesting thing to think about. On one hand, pretty much all of the small cruise ships, and there's even some talk of some larger cruise ships potentially coming late in the summer now, but all of those mitigation plans that I've seen so far have included very high vaccination rates among traveler passengers and crew. And by very high, I mean 95 to 100% is what they're requiring. They're basically saying, if you want to be on the cruise, you need to be vaccinated and you need to be able to show proof that you've been vaccinated. So that makes me hopeful, right? That makes me hopeful in that if we do see cruise ships, whether they're small or large, later this summer, those cruise ships will come in with a higher vaccination rate than we'll have in our community, which should actually do a positive thing for our herd immunity rates. The thing that makes me concerned, the thing that I think about in that respect, is the potential impact of variants. So far, we haven't seen a variant of high consequence, meaning a variant that is that is not able to be impacted entirely by a vaccine, or that is not able to be detected by our tests right now, or that makes people significantly more sick. But there are a number of variants of concern out there, including a new one for Juno recently that we detected 2 weeks ago. And so, as COVID spreads in people, COVID has the ability to mutate and create new variants. And so that's the part that I'm paying more attention to lately.
Well, we are sort of experiencing this soft opening up of Juno. We've got a couple of events coming up. We've got the Juno Jazz and Classics Festival, which is a hybrid event that will have some in person. And we've also got Theater Alaska with some outdoor performances coming. So this is kind of exciting that we have a chance to experience this. Do you think that we're rushing ahead of ourselves a little bit on these things? Or just about right?
You know, I think I would characterize this, I would place this in the just about right category. We know that outdoor events are great from a COVID mitigation perspective. The more time that we can spend outdoors, the better. It is very, very rare for COVID to spread, to transmit from person to person in an outdoor environment. The CDC came out with new guidance around masking for fully vaccinated individuals earlier last week. And one of the things that they said there is that you know, for fully vaccinated folks, unless you're in a very densely packed crowd, think like a live performance concert type thing, a parade, that you don't need to mask. And for unvaccinated people outside, unless you are unable to social distance, so unable to stay 6 feet away from other folks, you also don't need to mask when you're outside. Masks continue to be very important for indoor environments, though.
But it's kind of exciting that people are innovating in a way, trying to come up with ways to do the things that we love and be safe about it.
Yeah, I agree. We've seen a lot of that over the course of the pandemic. There's a lot more outside activity and innovation happening. And, you know, of course, it helps that we are going into the summer rather than coming out of it.
Well, before we go, is there anything else you'd like to share with us, some thoughts? And of course, tell us how you're doing and how your staff is doing. It's been, I'm sure, a time where you probably never worked harder in a job in your life.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment. But I will say that it has been very satisfying and rewarding work. And I think I can definitely speak for my staff and all of the many, many volunteers that we've had too, in helping us with vaccine distribution. We are very, very grateful for all of the support that we've received in doing that work. And gosh, Rhonda, helping people get vaccinated is so much more satisfying than where we were earlier in the pandemic of trying to clamp down and control case spread and ramp up testing and all of those activities. So, you know, I think on that note, the sort of final thing I would share or maybe plug is just once again, the vaccine clinics that we have starting up for kids, 12, 13, 14, and 15 years old. This coming Friday at Thunder Mountain and JD, and then on Monday at Sancta Kahini and Floyd Dryden. Please do take a look at those. Go to junoschools.org or to juno.org vaccine and find some details. Get your kiddo signed up. We'd love to see them there and get them their first dose so that they can start having a safe and social summer.
Safe and social. That's our new mantra, right, Robert?
It is, yeah.
All right, thanks very much. Robert Barr, who is head of the City and Borough's Emergency Operations Center. Thank you so much, and thank you for helping to keep us safer.
Happy to. Thanks for having me, Rhonda.